As you know, throughout the year, I've asked a number of different folks to share their testimony at the start of chapel, and today is one of those. I've been looking forward to this one since originally scheduling it. Mr. David Cantor, he's a grad from 1996. I met him his freshman year and got to know him and enjoy him, and then we just kind of kept up contact over the years, and when I would be out at friendship dinners in California, he was always faithful to be there and very generous. One time even cooked the meat for the whole friendship dinner. And he's just, he was neat, all right? I know that can be used a lot of ways. He was a neat student his freshman year. There was a maturity there, and a very evident sense of the Lord's hand and gifting in some unique ways. He graduated, as I said, in 1996 with a bachelor's degree in biology, and then when he graduated, he returned home and works for his father's company, which is called Scantibodies Laboratories, and he is the global sales manager now there. He manages key sales accounts in Asia, India, Europe, and the U.S. And he travels away from home about 20% of the time required from him. He married Jeanette Mattson, and she was originally from Seattle. She's not a graduate here, but we're happy to claim her, adopt her. She's actually here with him for the first time, her first visit to the university, and her first visit to the South, actually. So we're having fun introducing her and saying y'all and stuff like that. But they have three kids. They have Grace, Grant, and Kate, and they attend Faith Community Bible Church in El Cajon, but he lives out there in the San Diego area. So I've asked him to come share his testimony, and then following that, I have some other things to share as well.
Thank you, Dr. Jones. The effective speaker has a message to deliver, has a definite purpose in giving that message, and is consumed with the necessity of getting that message across and accomplishing that purpose. Those were the words that were drilled into our minds in freshman class speech 21 years ago. My teacher was a young grad student, and his name was Dr. Stephen Jones. He was a good teacher, but I do have one complaint. He never warned me that my final exam would take place 21 years later here in chapel. Well, as you all know, students come to BJU for a variety of purposes. Some come for the top-notch science education. Some come for the cutting-edge fine arts program. Some come for the world-class Bible training and seminary. But I came to BJU for a totally different reason. I came to BJU because of these two objects. Yes, you see correctly. I came to BJU because of a roll of toilet paper and a trash can. To explain, let me back up a bit. Like some of you, I was raised in a Christian home. My parents led me to the Lord when I was 3 years old. That explained that I was a sinner. I was in need of a Savior. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. My primary motivation was to escape hell. But what began as a fire escape has since matured into a lifelong friendship with my Savior. We were the first homeschoolers in San Diego, way before homeschooling was cool. My only exposure to Bob Jones was from using the BJU Press textbooks for our math class, and there was this little man always on almost on every page, this little character named Digit. And I often wondered about this Digit and imagined that he probably lived in a castle somewhere on the other side of the country in South Carolina, which I'd never heard of. And so I became really fascinated with this Digit. And then in high school, a friend of mine named Steve Rohr said, "Dave, my older brother Mark, he's a student out at Bob Jones." And I said, "Hold on, is that Digitland? Is that where Digit lives?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "I want to go visit him. You want to come?" And I said, "Sure, I want to go see Digit's house." So we went, we came out here, and I had visited several other Christian colleges, but when I arrived here on campus, very impressed with two things. Walked around outside and was amazed that all the trash cans were perfectly emptied. And then I went into the men's dorms and was shocked that the bathrooms were spotless and they were all full rolls of toilet paper. And I thought, you know, these are insignificant, but it speaks a lot. And if they have that kind of quality, I'm sure their education must be good. And I was sold. So I came home, all excited to go to Bob Jones University, but my father, unfortunately, was not sold. He said, "No, Dave, I've heard a rumor about the college, and I'll tell you what, you can go to any college, but I just don't want you to go to Bob Jones University." So, of course, I was disappointed, but I decided to accept that as God's will and enrolled in another Christian college. But then 6 weeks before school started, something amazing happened. I remember plain as day, sitting in the house, and my father bursts out of the study and with a loud voice says, "Dave, I've been praying, and I think you got to go to Bob Jones University." I said, "Wow, okay. Thank you, Lord." And I'm glad God changed my heart. The next 4 years of my life set the course, really, for the rest of my life. And as you know, there's hundreds of universities you could go to where you can learn how to make a living. But at Bob Jones University, I really did learn how to live. 21 years has a way of separating the priorities of those two things. When I first graduated from college, my first priority was how to make a living. Trying to find a career, trying to find a job, how to make a living skills were quite important. But 21 years later, more and more, I'm becoming thankful for the other skills, the how-to-live skills. Those are quickly eclipsing the how-to-make-a-living skills. When I was a student, Dr. Bob III would begin every chapel message with the chilling words, "The most sobering reality in the world is that people are dying and going to hell today." But I was like a soldier listening to those words in boot camp. Yeah, sure, there must be a war out there, but they didn't really hit reality until I felt the bullets whiz by my ear and I entered the workforce and realized you don't have to be a missionary to be a missionary. If God has called you to full-time missions, great. That's wonderful. But you can be just as an effective missionary in your career. I'm so glad that Bob Jones University taught me a little bit about everything. Yes, even Shakespeare and American literature. Do you know how few people in the world today have ever even seen an opera or ever heard Handel's Messiah in its entirety? The Renaissance man is becoming increasingly rare because our world is moving towards vocational training and very narrow skill sets. Learn just what you need to know in order to do your job. But all of us sit next to people on buses. We all sit next to people on trains. We all stand next to people in DMV lines. In my career, I get paid to have dinners with company presidents, businessmen, people that full-time missionaries may not have access to. In countries where full-time missionaries may not have access to, like Russia, India, China, Japan. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:22, "I am made all things to all men so that I might by all means save some." I am sure that Paul's business card didn't read, "Paul, missionary to kings only." Yet he brought the gospel to King Agrippa and even Caesar himself. I am sure that Paul's business card never read, "Paul, missionary to sailors." But look at the ministry he had with those shipwrecked sailors on the way to Rome. And I'm very sure that Paul's business card never read, "Paul, missionary to jailers." But he led the Philippian jailer and his family to the Lord. If you know a little bit about everything, you will have an avenue to engage anyone in conversation. and then you'll be able to get into their world before bringing Christ into their world. Learning this skill of getting into people's worlds is very, very critical in today's society, because most people in today's society are tuned out, and they're tuned into headphones and iPhones. Jesus Christ had that skill mastered, didn't he, of getting into people's worlds. Look at the woman at the well and Zacchaeus in the tree. After graduating with a degree in biology, I worked in my father's biotech laboratory, purifying and making our products, and then moved into sales 15 years ago, and I'm responsible for the company's sales. Our company makes blood tests. So when you go to the doctor or a hospital and they take a little tube of your blood and go running off with it to the lab, they will use then our tests. And they will test it for anything from hormones to infectious diseases like hepatitis, HIV, tuberculosis. Our company also has a cancer treatment clinic and a plasma collection center where we collect hundreds of donations of plasma every day and use that plasma to make therapeutics for Alzheimer's, cancer, autoimmune diseases, and then immune deficiency diseases. So I spend time visiting our top clients around the globe, convincing them to keep purchasing from us, and then working with their engineers to look for new opportunities, new products that we could invent for them, and new areas of collaboration. My responsibilities not only draw on my biology skills, which learned right there in the science building, but also on many skills never learned in the science building. Skills learned here in chapel. Skills learned in the dorms. Skills learned, probably most of all, from the little wooden plaques that I hope are still above many of the classroom walls. And on those plaques are engraved Dr. Bob Sr.'s chapel sayings. I remember I would often sit, if the lecture got a little dry, I would sit and ponder those plaques and just kind of wonder what they meant, or when I figured out what they meant, how they would eventually apply in my life. I can't tell you in the past, in 21 years, how many of those plaques have come to mind during a particular tough situation where it's not so clear what to do. Phrases like, do right till the stars fall, or the right road always leads out to the right place, or don't sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate, or the greatest ability is dependability. In fact, one saying that has helped me hundreds of times in my marriage is the phrase, no doubt the trouble is with you. My favorite chapel saying is the one that says, it's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. Several years ago, one of my clients asked us for a bribe. He was a product developer, and another company was paying him to select the best raw materials for their product. So he was supposed to select based on performance. And he came to us and said, I'll guarantee you select your product if you pay me a secret reward. And we explained to him why we couldn't do that. He remembered that. And the Lord worked in his heart. And years later, my father was able to lead him to the Lord. So it's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. Another favorite chapel saying that has helped me many times is the three simple words, finish the job. Dr. Berg taught my freshman orientation class, and I remember it started very early in the morning. One particularly weary morning, I think between sips of coffee, I remember Dr. Berg standing up there and saying, you know, the world is run by tired people. Those words stuck with me, and they have helped me a lot during heavy jet lag, and more recently, when my wife and I struggled with babies who couldn't sleep through the night, those words came to me. In fact, if you can survive BJU's schedule, parenthood is cake. It's easy. As I'm sure you've realized, much of the university's most viable education doesn't take place in the classroom. In fact, God used the 4 years of deadlines, schedules, exams, and other commitments to stretch me far beyond I could ever stretch. You know, I'm sure you're familiar with Paul's words when he wrote, be not weary in well-doing, for in due time we shall reap if we faint not. I think he had the Bob Jones experience in mind. I remember quoting that verse over and over and over again. The Bridge of Nations was my cue to quote that verse. And every time, and I was convinced I was never going to finish. And just that verse would became the theme. This emphasis on finishing the job cuts straight across the grain of our society, doesn't it? Our society is, their favorite thing is not finish the job, it's the escape button. I've seen many friends end their marriages by hitting the escape button. I'm just not happy, they say. I know God wants me to be happy, and I'm done. Unfortunately, they have not learned to finish the job. The university also taught me how to dress. I admit there were times when I was not excited to put on a tie to go to class or wearing a suit to artist series, but I've learned not only does this serve to prepare you for the corporate world, it also enhances your testimony because it puts the wearer a cut above an increasingly slovenly dress code, not only in the corporate world, but in things like church, weddings, funerals. Dress that isn't excellent and appropriate for the occasion indicates rebellion, and it indicates a slovenly heart, and it's not consistent with a Christian testimony. But sadly, the majority of the people today in the world don't even know how to tie a tie without consulting YouTube. Finally, I want to thank the university for its prayers for the graduates during chapel. When I was a student, I admit, this practice seemed a little bit irrelevant. I had never heard of the graduate, and he was probably here before I was born, and so why do I have to pray for him? But several years after graduation, I received a postcard in the mail from the university, and it said, "Just to inform you, we prayed for you on such and such date in chapel." I looked back on my calendar and discovered that was the exact same date that I was in Holland on one of the toughest business meetings I'd ever been in, begging and crying to the Lord the whole train ride to the customer city for help. And here was the university praying for me. And that really, really encouraged me. So please don't stop those prayers for the graduates and listen carefully to the words that describe what they're doing, their occupation. That will tell you how to pray for them. In fact, they may need your prayers especially on that date that you're praying for them. And please, whatever you do, keep the trash cans emptied. Thank you.
I was filling out his speech form while he was speaking. Got an A, as he did his freshman year. And you can see why. The dynamism, the heart behind the man that you just heard. But I hope you were listening very closely, and I hope his reflection back 21 years helped you project forward even 10 years, 5 years, to how the things that you're doing today, some that may clearly be relevant and important, and others that may not seem that relevant and important, how those things can be used of God to make a difference and even to be a witness to the unsaved. And I'm so thankful for the friendship of Dave, since he was actually in my first year of teaching speech. I taught for 3 years as a GA. They were in seventh hour, which is a horrible hour to teach. It's a horrible hour to sit. And it was hot in the room most of the days, but he and his friend Mark livened it up considerably and got us all through those days. But I'm thankful for his testimony of faithfulness, his love for the Lord, that shines like a missionary should or a pastor should, but on his mission field, which is the field of business. And I trust that that's what you're preparing for in whatever your field of calling and gifting.